Hello again. I am so sorry for anyone who came in and thinking, "Oh, this is going to be a perfect podcast." Well, kind of not. For right now, I'm trying to figure out everything going on, and I think I figured it out. But sadly, my father, he called on the phone, kind of shut everything down. I'm going to be explaining that to Tony soon. And hopefully I can get this running, get this going, get you guys some content. It just seems like a heck of a time over here. I am going to be doing a D&D stream real quick. I'm hoping everything pans out. I did not expect all this hoo-ha going on, but I think I figured it out. Go. Should be perfect now. Oh, so right now it seems some of you can't get this for some reason. Sending it on Facebook. Let's see. Da, 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 da. So, if anyone's messaging me at the moment, I apologize. I'm currently trying to figure everything out. There we go. There's Megan. Hello, Megan.
Hello again.
Hello, Tony. Hi, Megan.
I'm back.
I'm back. Okay, so for everyone now joining in, oh, there's Adam. Yay. Hey, Adam. Megan, you can also call in.
Hey, how's it
Please.
going?
It's going. I ran into a little trouble. So the reason why my network error came up was because my father called on the house phone, and the house phone literally just took everything. It literally just took everything I had right there to play that. To play this, and then it was also like, no, we're gonna stay with the house phone. We want that house phone. And I was like, oh, you gotta be kidding me. Anywho, Megan, are you gonna join us? You can just join call, pretty please.
Please join
Yes.
the call.
We need you. We need one more member. But anywho, yeah, I sorted it out. I basically rerouted a lot of the router box just so I have an Ethernet cable. I took out two of them. You love listening. I know you love listening, but you could be part of an adventure. You could be part of an adventure.
I can still listen while you're talking.
That is true. That is very true.
Some people do it better than others.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just.
Never mind what my mother always told me.
Oh, what'd your mother tell you?
Oh, she told me I didn't listen very well.
Oh, that's just sad. I think you listened perfectly.
See, the hype man. Just what I needed.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to be a personal hype man to someone out there, and they're going to be like, I'm going to pay you $1 million. And I'll be like, sure, why not? And then they pay me $1 million. I make a million. I'll be like, yes. For anyone new here, it is wonderful to meet you, and I hope you all enjoy our content. Yeah.
Did you just go on a small rant of like, I'm gonna get paid $1 million when somebody pays me $1 million, man? I'm gonna have $1 million.
Exactly.
I'm gonna be a millionaire.
It sounds weird, but the math checks out.
The
I mean,
math
it
checks
does.
out.
$1 million plus zero equals $1 million. I now have $1 million.
Actually, technically, it's 0 plus 1 million. Haha. But the yeah.
Reflexive property says I'm correct too, Dan.
Does it though? Because do you start out with a million? Do you?
You know, oh, okay. If you're trying to sell yourself as a hype man, maybe not hyping up him also hurts your ability to get paid.
Ah, fair enough. Fair enough. Mm-hmm. But no, we are gonna start a D&D, kind of where you guys left off, but I'm gonna have to storyboard it a little bit to show you guys like how you meet Megan, who is going to join us soon. Mm-hmm. I'm throwing all the stuff at her. She's better be joining.
She's allowed to just listen if she wants. We're not gonna push anybody into doing things they're not comfortable with.
Fair enough, but I know she said she would.
See, there is the issue right there. If somebody says they will and they committed to it, you don't go back on your word.
Maybe someone else wants to?
Yeah, I was about to say.
Oh, come
if you're
on,
looking
Megan.
For somebody who's good at committed relationships, I am not your guy.
At least you're honest with us. I mean,
I will stick around till it's dead cold and lying on the ground. I will be here till the end, Dan.
Thank you. Thank you, Tony.
You're welcome.
My heart.
No, this my is great. Soul. We've got the hype guy. We've got the emotional support guy.
And then we got you. What are you? You're the...
He's artillery. He's support.
Yeah.
Oh, he's the support? Yeah. Okay. So I'm hype guy. You're support guy. And then we got emotional support. Emotional security guy? Is that how it works?
That works. Code name,
emotional room clearance.
There we go. Oh, I love that actually. That's a great line. Megan, you can say no, but would you like to join us? So right now you're the only other person
totally,
here.
Totally said.
She said no a few times.
Yeah. You can't ask her again if you don't get the answer that you want.
Yeah,
that's not how it works.
Oh, don't see, feel bad. I'm so
now
sorry.
Now you're emotional. Yep. See.
I'm emotionally
don't join.
Okay.
Stand on your ground. This is your position. Hold it till you die, Megan. Do not join.
Yeah.
If you don't want to join, then yeah, no worries.
Don't join it. Don't listen to Dan. We'll distract him. Run away quickly now. Quickly. Get away.
Run away.
Run away.
And then she never comes back. She's just like, nope, never going to listen again.
Ever.
And I'll be like,
ever.
Oh. No, it's not all or nothing. It's not all or nothing. Holy cow.
It's not all or nothing. But anywho, we are going to be starting with one less individual, it would seem. If anyone does want to join during the podcast then and the campaign, then feel free, because I would love to always have people join us. It's something that makes it very free and flowing. Thank you for the likes, by the way. I got 8 likes now. Or no, 10 likes. Ooh. So... how am I going to start this with you guys? This is going to be interesting. Wow, I got 15 likes. Oh, my gosh. I almost have 300 likes, man. Jeez.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's so nice. How will I start this? So you guys, you were with Jacob. I'm going to say Jacob had to leave the car or leave the Humvee, and he went to basically try and get some people. I got applause. Wow, that is a lot of applauses. he's just spamming applauses. He's going to leave to basically just get himself situated. He's going to get food. He's going to get help. He's going to try and figure out like what he's trying to do. But with you two, you're still in the Humvee and you're driving. And last place you were at... can you help me here? I think you were at Sugarloaf, or were you at... You Hogsback. Were at another... Hogsback. There it is. You were at Hogsback. So, as you're driving down the road, you come across a cabin. This cabin is just in the woods. It doesn't seem very, like, very special at all. It's just a cabin in the woods. And you see it there on the side of the road, and it looks to be abandoned. But there is a turned-over vehicle at the end of the driveway. Would you guys like to stop there?
Well, the it seems like this is the next convenient location to stop. So I guess we should.
So you would like to, and Tony, would you like to?
Who's driving the car?
I believe that's you, Tony.
Yeah, this battle wagon's stopping right here. Yeah, we're checking this out.
Okay. There we go. Enter scenario. So you and Megan, if you do want to chime in or say anything, you have all the right to. Like, I know she doesn't have to join.
No, she doesn't have to join. You just keep pushing it, though. Just stop asking.
No.
This is rapidly becoming creepy, man.
Thanks.
If the girl says no, she says no.
Oh, God. That sounds so bad.
It is.
Oh, no, it does. It is bad.
No. So something that I did mention in the first episode was, or the first part, is that anyone can actually chime in and say, hey, I want you to make them face against more zombies or more mutants. I want them to have a chance at loot drop. I want them to have something like that. So the listeners are actually allowed to speak while we're in the game. You guys are able to kind of get screwed over by the audience or helped by the audience in these aspects.
Audience participation.
Yes. Points for participation, if you would like. But anywho, where do you stop, Tony? Where do you stop the vehicle?
I assume that there's a driveway, so I'm going to back the vehicle in so that we can do a quick getaway if need be, and then we'll park it right there at the front, and we'll head up to the front door.
Okay. So you bypass the vehicle, and you go up to the front door. Or you park somewhere relatively close to a deck where you have clear access to the front door. You do see a garage. The garage is shut. And while you're parking it, you do see someone coming out, and they just wave at you while they're kind of wiping their hands with the what seems to be blood on their hands. And he says, well, hello there. How are you today? In this order, it would be that I believe Adam still goes first.
Mm-hmm.
Adam, what do you say to this? And you have a 50 cal machine gun.
Just in his hands?
Well,
no, on the front door. On the Humvee. Oh.
Well, he's, he does look like he's wiping blood off. So I'll say, comment allez vous? And do my absolute best to ignore the fact that I can speak English in a manner of maintaining social distancing without bringing the 50 cal into play.
Okay. So the man responds with, parlez-vous français?
Ah, yeah, well, I guess that doesn't work if he actually speaks it. No, I speak English. I didn't realize anybody lived here. We'll be out of your hair in just a moment. Don't worry.
And right when you say we'll be out of your hair, he kind of cuts you off and says, no, please feel free to stay a little while. I understand the world is turmoilous. And you notice that he has this accent and he doesn't speak the perfect English. Like, he doesn't speak fluent English. It's kind of like a broken English.
Well, that would make sense. I mean, he's obviously way more versed in French than I am.
Mm-hmm. So, are you done with your little talk right there, or would you like an action to go with this? Right now, this is kind of like a bonus action.
I think the obvious next step for me is going to be getting my compatriot's attention and quietly discussing with him on what the best option is.
Okay. So, Tony, I'm guessing he does get your attention. He probably, kicks you in the shoulder, and he's just like, hey. And then, you both look at this man, and he's just wiping blood away. And right now, what do you do? You're in the driver's seat.
I've been kicking the shoulder, so I'm rubbing the shoulder. I'm going to look up at Adam, and I'm going to say, can I ask him about the blood? I want to ask him about the blood. Adam, I want to yell at him about the blood.
You should definitely ask him about the blood.
I'm going to lean out. I'm going to like unlock the door. I'm going to lean out the door, and I'm just going to say, hey, sir, is that blood on your hands?
And he looks at you, and he's like, let's see how. So you asked just a forward question, and it's not like super forward, but he looks down at his hands and he's like, yes, it is. It's from my last meal. And he points to the garage and he's like, would you like to eat or would you like to rest? I cannot hear you, Adam.
Sorry, Adam. Did he get out of the vehicle and walk down the driveway? He already started running.
Yeah, Adam's just like, I'm out of here. Forget me.
Yeah, my problem is there's a portion of me that's saying, can you hear me all now?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yeah, we got you now.
Okay. Part of me is thinking the appropriate military situation to do with here is to nod politely and leave.
Not mess
with the civilian at all. We're in somebody else's house, but the DM has carefully crafted this area, so I feel like we need to interact with the story that he's made for us.
It's up to you. No. It's up to you. I literally have over 112 scenarios listed right now.
What?
Oh, well, that's great.
Adam, we're out of here. We're going to hit the gate. How much fuel do I have in the vehicle?
You have a little over a quarter, I'd say. You have about like 34% out of a full tank. It's a Humvee, so Humvees kind of drain the gas.
Yeah, that's not going to last us very long. And it is Avgas. It's JP8, so we're not going to be able to scavenge anything from a regular car. We need a diesel.
Mm. So what would you like to basically do right now? Since you basically did ask a serious question to him, like, where did this blood come from? Like, how did this blood come to be on your hands? And he answered, like, oh, it's from my last meal. And
give a clear enough, concise enough answer, so I want to leave.
I want to leave. I want to shut that door, and we're going to start driving. Keep the 50 cal drained on the house.
Yeah. Well, the car, because the choke point is the overturned car.
Mm-hmm. So you...
I mean, if I was an absolute raider bastard, that's where I would be.
Mm-hmm. So you want to pull out, right?
Yes. I want to avoid this situation that could potentially come from leaving it in. So I want to pull out. I want to pull out of this situation.
Roll me a 1d20 and you get a plus. You get a plus. Okay, you get a plus one. So, and I beat you. I beat you by 1 point, actually. So you, for some ungodly reason, put it in reverse, and you back up right into that vehicle. And you hear something, like, hit, and you all of a sudden notice that there's something in your tire. Like, you can feel it when you're trying to drive. And you're just, like, freaking out. You're like... And the guy like he scratches his head and he slowly walks out and he puts his hands up. He's like, hey, it's okay. It is your turn, Adam. So this is your action and bonus action.
I am going to waste a 50 cal round by cycling the action on my 50 and as politely and professionally as possible, tell him to maintain current distance and do not approach closer.
So, do you fire those rounds?
No, cycling means that he racks it.
The wasted round is I'm just going to grab it and cycle it to show that the weapon is charged. That's my offensive visual action, my offensive verbal action saying.
No, I get it. Yeah. I just want to make sure you did not fire a round. Like, you didn't fire a single round, correct?
No, he didn't.
Okay. So, I'm going to give you 2 points of intimidation right now. And I want you to 1d20 me.
Okay.
What did you roll?
Just one moment.
No worries. I'll give you a five honestly, because like you have a 50 cal and like that is already intimidating enough, and then you're verbally kind of intimidating him. So
okay, I got an 8. I rolled an 8.
Ooh, and I got an 18. Wow. And I didn't even have any bonuses. The man still like comes closer and he's just like, it's okay.
I'm gonna kill him.
You're gonna kill him?
I'm killing him.
Okay.
Yeah. He stepped closer and he did not follow instructions. I'm putting a bullet in.
Okay, so right now I'm gonna say
I know, it's horrible.
No, so no, that's horrible. Situation.
It's awful.
This
I'm probably screaming bloody murder.
This intimidation is basically a bonus action. You did not do a physical action. So right now this is your action. So I'm going to allow you to make the first roll to use that 50 cal. And you are proficient in it. So I will give you a +3 to this. So please roll a 1d20.
Certainly.
Thank you.
13 +3 is 16.
16? Okay. I definitely did not roll higher than you. I got a 4. You put 3 rounds, I'm going to say, into him perfectly, just like going from belly button up, and he falls over.
War crimes. I am a monster.
You are a monster. No, he dies.
We'll live to be tried, though. That's the point.
He dies, and you notice that he has a knife in his back pocket, because when you fire on him, his body kind of like falls backwards, but like flies backwards at the same time, if that makes sense. Like, he just goes, poof, and flew backwards. And you notice that he did have a knife in his back pocket. Right now, your vehicle is stuck, though. And, Tony, it is your turn.
Okay, I'm going to give it a few seconds. So, it's called what the hell is it called? But basically, stop, look, listen. So I'm just going to sit there for like 10 to 20 seconds.
Okay, I know what you're talking about.
I'm just going to look and listen and wait to see if anything else happens.
So I will say nothing happens. Like, everything is silent. But you do hear this noise come from the house. Like, it's a very slight and subtle noise. And you don't exactly know what it is, but it's almost like a murmur.
Okay. Was that my action?
That is your bonus action, because you did technically have a physical action by looking around, but it's not a serious enough one for me to really care about. So right now
you've been immobilized, and that's my primary concern right now, is we can't get away with the vehicle, with our weapons, with our gear. So I want to go check out what's going on with the wheel.
All right.
Sure. I'll sit here and I'll maintain security.
Thanks.
So you're checking the wheel, correct?
Mm-hmm.
You notice there's this ginormous metal rod sticking up from the ground into the wheel. And for some reason, it looks like it's just penetrated all the way through the ground. Like, it might be like 15 feet, might be 5 feet long. You don't know. But it goes straight through your wheel into the back of the cab of the Humvee.
Wait, through the wheel or through the cab? What?
No. So it goes all the way through the wheel. So it went from the bottom to the top of the wheel, and then it went kind of like shifted itself to the right, and it went to the back of the cab, or the back storage unit of the Humvee.
Did it go in? Did it penetrate through the hub, the wheel, the rim? Did it?
So right now it went through the rubber, but it did not. Yeah, like it just went through the rubber, like that's all. And right now the back, it has like a little dent in the back of the cab, but like it didn't go all the way through.
Okay. I was wondering. Okay. Okay. Well, so I investigated. There's nothing I can really do. Was that my action, or do I get more?
I will say that is your action.
Okay, thanks.
Yep. And I will say you conveyed this to Adam here, and Adam's just like on top of the gun right now, and he's just looking around. Adam, what do you do?
I am going to suggest to my cadent compatriot that he opens up the garage and attempts to find a hacksaw or something like that, because if we can cut the rod off at both ends, the tires are run flats, and as long as it can rotate, we can still technically move. So if he can find us a welding torch or a cutter or even a hacksaw in the house, we can probably do a pretty good job of getting out. Mm-hmm. How many weapons do we have in the vehicle?
So as it happens,
pistol being mentioned.
Yeah, Tony still has that. That is his sidearm. The club essentially was taken. So the metal pipe that who had that? Was that? I'm trying to remember. I think that was Jacob. Yeah, Jacob had it. Jacob took that with him. I do believe Tony has a knife as well. And Adam, you have a 50 cal, but you also have a medical bag in the back seat. You have two sets of gas masks. You have some filters, and you have, what else do you have? You have, actually, that's it. No. That is all.
Okay. No service rifles. Got it.
Nope. No service rifles.
Okay.
So is that your action and bonus action? Like you were checking out to see what you had or?
Well, it's not, I should already know what I have, mm-hmm. but because I don't have another service rifle, I'm not going to leave the vehicle because that's our best weapon that we have right now.
Yeah.
So I'll just maintain security, watch the front of the building, and suggest that my friend go and check out the garage.
Okay, so
I'll agree to that. I'm going to head towards the garage.
You're heading towards the garage, but Adam, I will say, give me, and this is called an Overwatch check. So you're looking over, I don't know if you've ever played XCOM, it's a great game. You're overwatching over an area. You have the decision to fire or not fire, and you do see a pack of mutated wolves and coyotes. They're in the distance. They're probably like, I'd say 160 yards out. This is thin brushed area, like thinly enough trees that you can shoot through and accurately probably hit them if they get closer, but you can visibly see them and they are coming in your direction.
Well, I suppose there's nothing for it. I'll contact, distance, direction, wild animals, and touch off a couple of rounds in their direction. Semi-auto, try and keep it tight, but I suppose that's the best thing that I can do.
All right. So are you gonna try and hit them, or are you trying to scare them?
If they're mutated, I don't expect me to be able to scare them. I'm just going to try and hit one and see how they react.
Roll a 1d20 on hit, and I will give you plus one proficiency. Oh, you probably don't get this.
No, definitely not. I've only got a 19.
Oh, I got a 19.
And it's plus one? You're so calling. You rolled a 20?
Did you get a 20 then?
Yeah, I have a natural 19.
So, okay, then you have an unnatural 20. So so how many times did you think you fired there?
Just once. I've only got one can of ammo, and I'm trying to save it.
So one bullet?
Yep.
Okay, so in this moment, I'm going to say you fired off one round that went through one of the mutated wolves and hit the mutated fox behind it. Or not fox, mutated coyote. And in that instance, they all disperse. Like, you don't see them anymore. They all, like, hide and, like, run. But you hit one directly in the head and the other one right through the chest. You can make that out very clearly. Good job. Good shot. Like, honestly, I might give you I might give you even more proficiency in the future for that.
Here's I need all the help I can get.
So Tony, you do go up to the garage. You do hear a murmur and it does sound kind of like a human. Do you open the garage? Like, it looks to be able to be open.
Okay. Can I do a quick look around the perimeter of the building? Like, I want to size up the entrances and exits to the building.
Okay, so this is I will give this to you. It's a two-story building. It has three entryways, garage, back door. It's more or less like a sliding glass door and a front door. The windows are all around it. The garage is the only place without windows. And it
Oh, the garage is attached to the house?
Yes, it is attached to the house.
Is the front door visible from the 50 cal?
Yes, it is.
Okay, thanks. I'm gonna enter through the front door. So I'm gonna see if it's locked, and then I will kick open the door, and then I'll back up about 10 yards.
So, as you do this, it is unlocked. You kick it open. Nothing happens. Like, there's no issue right now. Like, everything is going smoothly. All of a sudden, you do hear the murmur, and it gets louder. But it is still in the garage. It is still in the same exact place.
Okay.
Could you open up that garage door for me?
Yeah, at this point, yeah, I'm going to open up the garage.
Okay. Give me this much. So if you see a visible figure, you don't know. And thank you for the likes, by the way, Mobina. If you see a visible figure and it kind of comes in your direction, are you willing to shoot it?
Absolutely not. If it doesn't have a weapon, I'm not firing.
Okay. Tony, you do have a sidearm.
What? Okay. If I'm feeling threatened and it's making threatening moves towards me or my companion, if it's large enough to actually do damage to me, yeah, I'm probably going to try and take it out. But if it's just walking towards me, I'm probably going to do other actions first before I choose to fire.
Fair enough. Okay.
Yeah, there's a lot of procedures that go into pulling a firearm, taking it off safe, aiming it, and pulling the trigger. And in that amount of time, we should have a good idea of what it is we're shooting and whether it's a good idea to shoot it.
Okay. So I just wanted to clarify with you guys over this. So Tony, when you fling open that garage, this is technically your bonus action. I cannot give you an action right now. It will go over to Adam. Adam, and Tony, you do see this too, but Adam, you have the possibility of firing right now. You see what seems to be not a mutant, like it's almost like a half mutant. It's something of like, oh man, do you remember those Chargers from Left 4 Dead?
I do remember, yeah.
Imagine that, but a little less creepy zombie looking. It's more human. And you see it coming towards Tony, but more or less going towards the Humvee. And
does it have anything in its hands?
No, it does not. You notice it's actually missing a foot.
Okay.
Why is it missing the foot? Oh, Jesus. Oh, and the guy had a knife.
In this moment, what do you do, Adam? What do you do?
The same sort of thing as before. I'm going to yell at him, but I'm going to yell at him. Happy time, fishmonger. Potato, potato.
Ooh. Roll 1d20 for me on that one. I will give you oh my gosh.
I only got an 8.
I'll give it to you. I got a nat 20. But for how this is going to rule out for you, the beast looks up at you, looks really confused, and then says, potatoes. Potatoes.
Seems entirely friendly and not worth killing.
So he just stops and looks up at you, and he is like using his arm as a stilt right now, and he is missing that foot, and it's actually constantly bleeding right now.
Well, that's terrible.
Yeah, it is. And all of a sudden, Tony, when you look into that garage, you see more people. And they are partly mutated.
Ah! Jesus Christ. Okay.
It's going to get a little bit worse. But I will let you decide what to do right now.
Well, I'm super confused about what Adam just did. So I'm going to yell back to Adam, like, what was that? Can you explain it?
Sure. Right now I'm worried about if he was human or not, whether or not he could respond to intelligent commands. And because he was confused and mimicked us, that means he'll respond to instruction. If I yell at him in English and he doesn't do it, well, that just might mean he doesn't speak English. Also, I'm not going to hurt him unless he does three things that look like a threat, and so far he hasn't done any of that. But maybe you could try talking to him.
Adam is so smart.
Yeah.
I just want everyone to know that, like, Adam is doing, and Tony, you are too, but Adam, like, what you did there, I noticed what you were doing there, and I was like, my God, he's a genius.
I was expecting him to not respond to me in some fashion, so I just really wanted to get his attention.
So, but Tony, no worries. It's true, though. It is true. You both are geniuses. So, in my eyes, I'd say. Tony, what do you suggest on doing?
Okay, well, yeah, at this point, I want to kind of call out, like, hello, is there anyone who speaks English? Anyone who can communicate?
So, a younger individual, you can visibly see that they're younger, probably around 19s, 20s, steps forward and is like, yes, I do. And then two others behind them step forward and is like, we do. And then you notice that there's, and this is, if you've ever seen Russian camo outfits, you see them in the side of the building, but they're hanging from, like, they're not meat hooks, but they're hanging from these kind of like, and they're not punctured, like they're not puncturing into them. They're hanging from these like coat racks. They're like what you would put on a wall, essentially, and they're just hanging there.
The uniforms or people in uniforms?
Both. Okay. They're people in your uniforms.
This is a horror game. Okay.
It is right now.
What? I tell you what, this is making me feel so much better about myself. I mean, for an instant, I was worried about shooting that guy being the wrong decision, but now I feel great.
Oh, yeah, no. That fucker deserved to die. I have made up my mind on that one. So I'm getting communication. I want to know what has been happening. So, but the immediate concerns come first. So I want to ask, is there anyone who needs aid right now? You need aid?
Literally everyone points to the guy that is constantly bleeding in front of Adam right now. And okay. He just turns at you and he's just like, potato. And that's all he says. Okay. And he just falls over. And they all say, terrible. We're all American. And then they look at the Russian outfits and they say, but they weren't.
Okay.
So right now,
the immediate concern is I need to tourniquet that leg. Like, bonus action, whatever I got to do, like, yep. Get a tourniquet on that leg.
Have you ever made a tourniquet? Like, mm-hmm. Have you put on a tourniquet? So yes, yep. You know exactly how to. I'm going to say you get a +3 to this. You better get this. You get a +3. The only way that you don't get this is if you nat 1.
Yeah, I was nat 3. Say, we've gotten tourniquets in the vehicle.
I literally got a nat 3, so we both got nat 3s, but you get a +3 to this.
Okay, all right.
You put on a tourniquet on this man. He's still like somewhat conscious, and he just like looks at you, and he puts his one smaller, more regular arm on your shoulder, and he's like, thanks. And he just like passes out. Like, it just, he didn't die. He's not dead. He just mm-hmm. passes out from probably like adrenaline rush and like all of a sudden
blood
like
loss.
Blood loss and all this other
loss of blood pressure. Blood.
Yeah, probably that's the big cause.
Shock. Yeah.
Well, that's okay. I guess we can waste stuff on potato.
potato.
Can we call him potato? I want to call him potato.
You can. I will say he is Groot. I will say the people that are there right now tell you that he was there the longest, and that Then it was them. So this is the girl telling you, the 19 to 20 year old girl. She tells you that she was there the second longest, and the man that you allegedly killed, he was basically feasting on potato, and like she even calls him potato. Yep. And it gets worse when Russian, and these aren't Spetsnaz, they're just like Russian special forces. They came and they were actually under this guy's leadership.
Okay.
And right now they're all dead because he, for some reason, felt like it was a good idea to eat that meat. And all of a sudden went on a rampage and killing a bunch of people.
Jesus.
Yep. And Potato, like, he's perfectly fine now besides, like, losing a leg. But he is kind of, like, out. So where do you put him? Like, do you just leave him on the ground or you put him against the Humvee?
I'll take care of Potato.
Okay. Yeah, so do you get off of your gun?
Oh, yeah.
That's an important consideration the right there.
Yeah, the weapon is stashed, stowed, and I've rammed a shell casing behind the triggers as an impromptu safety to make sure nobody gets messed up.
That's smart. I like that.
If we've got the medical kit, I'm gonna waste the IV bags and dump them into Potato. And make sure he's nice and stuck and give him a squeeze.
Get a thermal blanket around him and raise his legs above his head.
Leg, don't you mean?
Yeah, these are good ideas. I'm going to demonstrate what I'm doing to a couple of the other people, and
they leave
to do this.
Nope, they all left.
Oh, they're just
they just booked it. They booked it like they just. You do notice this that one of the older looking mutants kind of went towards the coyotes, and she actually just starts to eat a coyote. Like the coyote and
the one that was shot, blown up by the 50 cal.
Yeah, these people are probably like very malnourished. They need like lots of nutrients, and she just nom. But in this moment, Adam, I will say I will give it to you. I rolled a really bad roll. I will give it to you. He wakes up and he actually goes into his pocket with his normal-ish hand, and he gives you an ID card. Do you want to inspect it?
No, I'm just gonna tuck it into my pocket for a minute. I'll give it a cursory glance because it's a useful story item, but there's other things that I want to do right now.
All right. He says potato, and then he passes out.
not good.
Now, Tony, I will say you do have the opportunity to go inside, but Adam, I want to give you kind of like a little bit of a more of a bonus action. Like if you want to do something right now, please tell me.
Well, there's Russian army uniforms in the building, and that means they've got more armor and rifles and weapons. And I'd really like to get a service rifle for me and my new friend here. But I don't want to leave Potato alone until he's awake and clear headed because it's not safe for him to be unconscious right now.
Hmm. Oh, by the way, where did you do this? Like, where did you put did you put him in the Humvee or did you put him on the outside?
Oh, he's still on the outside. I mean, I figured if he was the size of a Charger, he wouldn't fit inside the Humvee anyway.
Yeah. I was wondering, like, were you going to try and shove him in? That would be very difficult. Yeah,
I doubt I could move that guy by hand.
Yeah. So, okay. He is on the outside. He's probably leaning up against one of the tires. He is unconscious. And I will say, since you're staying with him, you're getting something called a nurturing bonus. This nurturing bonus helps him heal a little bit faster. So right now, you will always have this. You can write this down if you'd like, but you get something called nurturing bonus. Whenever you heal someone or help someone, you get this nurturing bonus, and it's a +2.
I love being support classes.
I'm glad. You supported me in Division 2, so I think it fits.
There we go.
Tony, do you wish to scout out this house?
Of primary concern is safety. So yeah, I'd like to search the house. I'd like to start with the garage because that's invisible distance from Adam for support. I want to look for two items. I want to look for weapons and then also a method to be able to free our vehicle.
All right. So Roll me an investigation or a... Actually, yeah, just an investigation.
17.
Okay, you definitely beat me. In the garage... Like, you're just in the garage, correct?
For now, just the garage, first room.
Okay, in the garage, you notice that these soldiers don't have any weapons on them. They don't have any armor plates. They are just bodies in uniforms. But you do notice one of them has a pull string on it.
A pull string on a...
Like, cool. Where? What?
So, this pull string...
Are you talking quick release for armor, or...
No, not really. So I will give this to you. This pull string is like leads. Well, I'll partially give this to you. It leads up to his helmet. It leads to his back. It leads to his forearms and his shins and bottoms of his feet.
That's a little weapon X.
Do I notice sutures or.
You notice wires.
What do the strings connect to? Do they go inside the skin?
No, they don't go into the skin. They're just on the suit themselves. But it does lead to, like, the bottoms of his boots. It leads to...
How are they fixed?
Like, so
do they
these...
go into the material, or are they taped to it, or are they...
They go into the material.
Does it look... From their angle of entry, are they penetrating the person, or are they just in the clothing?
Nope. Just in the clothing.
Okay, where my observation of this, where are all of these strings connected in one place? Are they tied off to an eye hook? Are they part of the rigging method to keep them up against the wall? Like, what are we talking here?
So this string is one really long wire system. This wire system leads to these points of his body, the bottoms of his feet, his shins, his forearms, his head. And also his back.
So that's one end. What's the other end?
Do you want to try and look into it?
Yeah, that's my question.
So this is all you see at the moment. Do you want to investigate it further and basically, like, put your hands on the body and try and investigate it?
Is he clearly dead?
He is dead. He's definitely dead. Like, they're all
How
dead.
How do I
like,
know?
His eye is out of his socket. His eye is literally out of his socket. Part of his jaw is missing. There's, like blood has dripped all over the floor, and it came from him and his buddies. He's definitely dead. I will give you that.
He's not living, but we're saying he's dead. Are we sure he's not the other direction and an undead?
He is not undead. No, like, he is dead. Like, his part of his, like, face is, like, drooped. Like, it looks like he's dead. So if you want to investigate if he's alive or dead, I will literally give this to you for free. He is definitely dead. He won't come back to life. Like, there's no way.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. I'm going to then. Okay. So I assume he's close to his buddies on his left and right. They're all up on co-hanger hook things. I need to make sure everything's dead right now. Nothing's coming alive to mess with me.
Nope. Nothing.
All right, okay. I lay hands on this man, and I want to figure out where these lines go.
So you're feeling these lines, and then you find these, like, small bricks inside his suits, like, forearms, and at the bottom of his feet. They feel heavy, and you also notice that his helmet, like, when you look closer, it's lined up with something called therm. You don't see anything else. It just says therm. It looks like it's smudged.
Adam, this sounded like an IED, right?
I am nowhere near you at this time. I do not see you.
I've been verbalizing all my investigation.
Oh, thank God. Stay the fuck away from it. It's in AHD.
1D20 right now.
Okay. I got an 11.
Oof. So you hear something click. What do you do?
I freeze.
You freeze?
Yeah.
And here's the best part. All of a sudden, you see this man have sort of a tiny, like, spark of, like, sizzly effect in his head, and it just melts. His forearms and fingers melt. The bottom of his feet, though, blow up. And right now, I'm going to have you roll against me so to see if you take damage. Roll 1d20?
Yeah. I got a 19.
Oh, you beat me. Ooh, I got a 16. So the explosion did not hurt you at all, but you literally just watched a man's skull, his forearms melt off, and then his feet be blown off. You're covered in blood right now.
Okay.
Whatever
is concerning left. Than everything else that's been happening, so
probably
I'm okay with this.
Yes. So Adam was very much correct, and what was in the helmet was thermite charges.
Yeah.
And I love those stuff; they're so cool, but they are very scary. You are perfectly fine though. There's nothing wrong. Maybe some like little mental trauma after that. You're just like, holy shit! But I'm dealing with other things right now. Adam, it goes to you. You just heard this happen. Potato wakes up and he's like, Potato.
Stay here, Potato. And I'm going to go run over and investigate my buddy.
Potato,
is
like...
my buddy okay, is he?
Potato, like, pats your hand. Like, he's like, Potato.
Perfect. He is a perfect cinnamon roll, and I will keep him safe for the remainder of the campaign.
Potato. Okay. So you go to focus on Tony right now. Tony is... Right. Like, he's fit, he's healthy, there's nothing wrong with him. But then you hear one thing fall in the building. Like, you hear something just, like, fall over.
Well, I am currently in no position whatsoever.
You're far away from the mic.
Looking for it.
Far away. Far away.
Am I far away from Mark?
A little bit.
Far away.
A little far away.
Okay, you can hear me now, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, terribly sorry about that. I do not have a weapon or a rifle, and I have a potentially injured person, so I need to make sure Tony gets back over by Potato, and we need to leave. I'd go investigate, but I don't have a rifle or anything, so I don't feel confident in my abilities to deal with any other problems. So I'm just going to recommend that we leave.
Okay. So, Tony, do you want to leave?
I don't see that we have a way to leave yet. The vehicle's still stuck.
Oh, yeah,
I wish
right.
It could move. So okay. We have to figure out a way to get it moving again. So if I'm okay, I'm going to pop back up on my feet. I want to say, Adam, I'm good. Double thumbs up. And I want to... Like, we need to clear the house kind of quicker than anything else.
Yeah, I suppose you're right.
There's still movement in there. I have a service pistol, right? I think.
Yep. You do have a service pistol.
Right.
So I'm going to hand that off to Adam. And I'm going to say I'm a little rattled from that blast, but I'm still good. I'm going to follow. I'll take care of Potato here. You go investigate the house.
Tony, because. Oh, sorry. You go, Adam. Oh,
okay. That sounds like a really good idea. Keep Potato safe. I'll go find out what fell over.
Which foot's been blown off, by the way?
It would be his left foot.
Great, thanks.
Tony, I will say, though, you just gained an attribute, and this attribute is double thumbs up. So this attribute is kind of like a joke one, but whenever you're in a bad situation, you have a single chance to make everything all right, like make everyone feel like everything's all right. And it's called double thumbs up. If you want to write that down, feel free. You can use this whenever you want.
That's great. I wish I had that ability in real life.
Right?
Yeah, right.
So Adam, Tony is now taking care of the half mutant and
Potato.
You both nicknamed him Potato. And it's a great name. Tony, I do know you probably have to go soon.
Actually, keep rolling. I'll tell you when I have to go. I haven't sent you the message yet.
Okay, sounds good. Adam, do you want to clear that door that leads to the garage at the moment?
Yes.
Okay.
I'll start working my way through the building and watching my feet.
Sounds good. So I will give this to you. You go through the door. Everything's fine. You notice that there's a staircase, a wooden staircase, and there's a bunch of animals hanging on the walls. And the only place that leads upstairs to the second floor is that there's a bathroom to the right, and then there's a locked door to the left. And you do hear something like kind of like hit the floor. Like it's kicking. Like it sounds like a kicking of a wooden object.
Kicking of a wooden object.
Yes.
Well, as I'm clearing, I'm going to identify myself very professionally as, what's a good one? An Avon makeup salesman. And the entire time I'm going up the stair and revealing my location as I move through. Oh yeah, I've got lip gloss. I've got four different colors. I'm a little bit short on eyeliner, but we can totally make it work. If you've got a pale skin tone, I'm certain it'll work out. Making sure that I'm not readily identifiable as somebody who's previously been in there and not a super huge threat. Trying to make myself non-threatening.
Okay, so the kicking had stopped. Like, it's just stopped. There's no kick. But do you want to break the door down?
I'm probably just going to knock on the door and see if I can't get their attention. And if they don't, I'll say I'm going to open the door, and then I'll break it open if there's still no response.
Okay, so the way you knock, there's a kick exactly the same way you knocked.
Perfect.
Do you wish to
get away from the door? I'm going to open the door, and then I'll shoulder it open.
1d20.
Sure. 1d20.
Da, da, da.
15.
How many times have you done this technique?
In real life, I've actually got a scar. I've got a scar on my shoulder from doing it professionally.
I will give you a +2 to this because I know you used to do this for a living in the military, I believe.
Yeah.
So you now have just enough to open this door. I rolled a 17.
Okay.
You perfectly take down the door. It flings open and you see what seems to be a Russian soldier tied to a chair, bleeding out, with like a bunch of scars and cut marks all over him, on the floor.
That's disgusting.
The Russian or the cut marks? I'm just joking.
The cut marks. Goodness. And he's tied up.
Yes,
nobody else
is
in the room.
No, just him and you.
Okay, great. Is his
mention his mouth is covered. I will mention, there is a locker there's no lock on it, but there is a locker that is just open with a bunch of guns. There's a shotgun. It's a Mossberg. There is a M4, and then there's an M16.
I'll give a cursory glance to the individual in the chair, making sure he's not in any immediate medical need. And then I'm going to go acquire myself one of those M4s.
All right. So he just, like, he nods. He's just like, mm. And his mouth is gagged. Like, he can't speak. But he's just like, hmm. So when you get this M4, you notice at the kind of like the back of, because now you're facing the back of him. You notice at the back of him, he has what seems to be something infused to his arm, kind of like a digital screen almost. Like it looks like it's infused into his arm.
Ouch. That looks uncomfortable.
Probably is.
Hmm. And it's a screen? What's on the screen?
It's just a you know, like when you turn your screen on, like it's just mm-hmm. black or whitish. Yeah, that's all you see.
All right, great. I'll take the rifle, load it up, make sure it's nice and charged, and go clear the rest of the building. And I'll tell the Russian guy I'll be back in a minute, but I gotta go make sure the rest of the house is clear.
So I will say you clear the rest of the house. Do you want to go tell Tony about this?
Yeah.
Okay, you tell Tony, and you're now with Tony. Tony, what do you do?
I want to verify Potato's doing all right. Is there any other medical aid that I can render him to make him better?
No, he's actually pretty fit. Like, he's doing all right. And as you notice something, his leg not really, like, begins to form. It just seems to be, like, extending itself. It's more or less like it closed the wound, but his leg is now becoming more like a nub, but it's like the nub started to grow. Does that make sense?
I want to relax the tourniquet and verify no blood flow.
Yep, you are, like, his leg is A-okay. There is blood flow, but it's not, like...
Flowing out of the wound.
Yeah, it's not out of the wound at all.
Okay, so the tourniquet's off. He's okay. I assume the vehicle, we can lock it?
Yes.
Okay, I want to lock up the vehicle.
Technically... No, but like
you really can't lock the vehicle.
Yeah, I will say that it will be secured, and you know where it is. Like, you'll know if someone's there.
Okay. Yeah. So now I want to back up Adam. So I want to attach my character Adam to take the lead wherever we want to go next.
All right. So Adam, where do you want to go?
Well, I'm gonna go back to the Russian. I'll explain to my compatriot and the Russian at the same time that I'm not going to take his gag off, and I'm only going to ask him yes and no questions so he can nod his head up and down or left and right, and we'll go from there.
All right. Tony, do you need to go this moment, or would you be able to sit through this scene? Okay.
Yeah, I got 7 minutes still.
Adam, ask your question. Or ask your questions.
Does the screen on your arm belong to you?
He nods yes.
Is it an anti-handling device?
He nods no.
Where's the rest of your team?
He like tries to like he tries to point.
I'm kidding. I know.
No. He points downstairs. But, like, he tries the point in a specific place. I'll just say that much.
Okay. Those were the two important ones. Do you speak English?
He nods yes.
Cool. I'm going to take his gag off.
You take his gag off, and he says, I'd really like you to untie me.
You know, I didn't even need to ask that question. I know you want me to untie you. Do you have any other questions for us? We can play back and forth if you like.
Do you have a knife?
Yes, I can totally get a knife. In fact, I know where one is.
And he says...
my turn.
No.
Why are there Russian...
He says...
No. Oh, I apologize. Go ahead, Mr. Russian. I apologize.
No, like, he says, do you have a knife? And, like, this is the... like. Before you even get to say yes, he basically says, you should really cut open the furniture.
Furniture.
Oh, man. Oh, that makes my skin crawl.
Okay. You should.
I got a knife with me because I own a knife. It's with me. Is there a chair in the room?
There's a chair downstairs, and it's a red one.
Oh, why is it red?
But before we do that, what are we going to find in the chair?
The rest of my comrades.
The rest of your comrades are inside there?
Yeah.
That's super gross. Super gross. You don't have a vehicle or a supply drop or someplace where you're supposed to end up. Who are we supposed to drop you off with?
He looks at you and he says, "So, how bad are things right now?"
No, you have to answer my question. Where are we supposed to drop you off at?
And he said, "Depending on how bad things are, there might not be a place to drop off."
Okay, fair. No problem. Okay, now you ask the question.
And he said, "How bad are things outside?"
Actually, they're really good. We're part of the bad area, but if you go about 20 miles away, it gets pretty nice. We're just trying to stay away from the police right now.
And he says, with wide eyes, and he said, "20 miles is okay? Really? This is yes. This is news."
Hey, it's back and forth on questions. Now it's mine.
He's like, "Oh, I'm so sorry. Please go on."
How did Russian armed forces get here in the middle of Michigan? That seems a little bit strange.
He looks at you and he's like, "Ex-military. We are hired by the man that I think, I hope, and feel you killed. If not, we are all screwed."
Hired. I still have that ID card. Can I check that ID card out?
Yes, and when you take that out of your pocket, his eyes get even wider, and he's like, "How did you get that?"
We gotta even out on the questions here, buddy. Just relax. What does the ID card say?
The ID... He chuckles a little bit. He's like, "I like you, American." And he just like smiles, and when you read the card, it says bunker status, and it literally, like, when you move the card just a little bit, it flips through like a digital screen, and it says a bunch of different data and analysis, and it shows lifelines, and it says different things, all different kinds of things.
Oh, super useful.
It is.
Okay, whose turn is it? It's my turn? Yeah, it's my turn. Hey, where's your wallet?
And he's like, "It was leather, but I think I ate it."
You ate your wallet. That sounds weird. I don't believe you. Anyway, have a nice time. We're going to borrow the shotgun and the rest of those, and we'll see you later.
Did you untie him or cut his bindings?
Nope, he's still tied
Definitely
up.
Definitely not.
And he says, he's
still tied up.
He says, "I did eat my wallet. It is, the cards though are on floor," and you actually see, like, there are cards on the floor, like his ID card and stuff like that.
Sweet, that's what I'm looking for. Can you tell me about this ID card?
So his ID card says his name is Ivan Polosky. And he is an ex-military officer in the Russian military, like he said. But right now, he has another ID card that says Black Diamond Brigade, and you don't know what that is.
Yeah, that sounds super sketch. There was no Michigan driver's license or anything, so I'm going to leave him there.
You're just going to leave him there?
Yeah, I'm definitely.
Yeah, I'm down with that.
All right. So you guys leave him there, and he's just like, he's just laying on the floor, and he's like, "Okay, well, I'll be here if you need me, but could you maybe throw me some other leather or something to nom on?"
We're out the door.
All right. Sounds good.
Yeah.
So he's just like laying on the floor. He's just like, "Ugh, okay, I lay here." And you go out the door. Potato is up and about, and he's coming towards you. And you notice he's walking on a nub and his actual foot.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Hey, nice to see him up and around.
And he just responds with, "Potato, And that is where we will end it. Thank you for joining, both of you. And thank you all for joining in on listening to us. So thank you. I think we had 30 people? Wow, we had 30 people come in.
What? Oh my god. It got interesting. That does not show up on my app at all.
Yeah, a lot of people have left, but right now we have 6 people in. Two of them don't have CastBox memberships or anything like that. So I understand if you guys don't want to own CastBox. It's free, though, so if you do like CastBox, please feel free to get it. But I want to thank you both. So thank you, Tony. Thank you, Adam. And thank you, Megan, for being in the beginning. I'm so sorry that I kind of forced you into that. But I hope you all enjoyed.
Definitely, yeah, Dan. Yeah. Well, that's a good time. I look forward to the next time.
Yeah, sweet.
Story is getting interesting. See you later. Bye-bye.